Hello, everybody. It's the Atalanta Pod, Season 6, Episode 1. I'm Dan from Atalanta, Vegas. A little bit of a delayed or a long hiatus for myself, and of course, my partner Nick from Atalanta Passione. It's been a while since we have recorded. It's after match day 9, and we're doing Episode 1 of Season 6. We stopped around Episode 15 of Season 5. A lot of things happening in our lives, all good things, but thank you for your patience. But Nick is back with me. And Nick, how have you been these past couple of months?
I've been very good. I can't even say sleep deprived, because everyone's like, "Oh, you're not going to get sleep when you have a baby." And for spoiler alert, we have a 7-week-old daughter now. You're just on all the time. We get our sleep at night, but it's just intensely just you're always hyper focused, which is nice. But we've been good. Baby's good. Baby's healthy, and we have another little Atalanta fan on the East Coast of the United States to have support the team, which has been great.
Fantastic. And congratulations to you and your wife and listeners. Just so you know, I did ask Nick to name his daughter Duvana, and he did not. So
Hey, you got a D, right?
yeah, that's true.
We got the first initial.
It was supposed to be Duvana Louisa. That's what it was supposed to be, right? Oh, for goodness sakes. But that is such good news. And I myself have finally moved back home again to Las Vegas after a year working on the East Coast of Philadelphia. So that's what was going on, listeners, for the past quite a few months. So, but we're back. We've kind of got our routines ready to go. We had a little bit of a kind of like a launch of our voices back for this season last week on the La Lanterna Pod with some great Genoa fans doing our Genoa preview. And Nick, we were right, right? Genoa did fall to us. We said 2-1, but it was 2-0, so that's good. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But because this is our first episode, we want to talk a little bit about all the things that we didn't talk about, you know, that we normally do in the summer or in the beginning of the season, and talk about Serie A. We'll talk about the Europa League. But let's in general, we're 9 match days in. We are in sixth place, Nick, 5 wins, 1 tie, 3 losses. Kind of, you know, where we kind of feel like we should be at least, right? In those Europa League spots. How do you feel overall about where we are and how we've performed in the first 9 match days in Serie A?
I feel you have to feel really good, I think, given it's early in the season. We have almost not a whole new starting 11. That's unfair to say, but we have a lot of new pieces that have been inserted into the starting 11. So obviously, we would think it would take a lot of time for the squad to gel together. And I still think it is going to take some time. But until we get to that point where we think we might be humming and firing on all cylinders, being in sixth place, and from a point standpoint, it's really there's Napoli and Fiorentina on 17 points. So between fourth and sixth place, there's not that much of a gap really at all. So you got to feel really good where we are. And then once we get Scamacca fully healthy, I think, and fully integrated in with the squad, and then once Torre comes back, I guess probably at January after Christmas at this time after New Year's. Lots to look forward to, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think that the 3 matches that we've lost have all been away. And that's Fiorentina, which Fiorentina is having a great season, bar the strange last game against Empoli. Lazio, who after starting so terribly and today played terribly in the Champions League, basically that game was kind of a freak, I think, for us to be so switched off in the first 10 minutes, an own goal and an Atalanta of old concession on the counter, even though we came back to tie it up 2-2, and then we were just kind of gassed and let Vecino sneak in there. So lost to Lazio and Frosinone. That was an interesting one. But Frosinone has done a lot better than I think.
Not as bad a loss probably now as we thought after match day two, but
Absolutely.
still a head scratcher, but not a, oh my God, what the hell's going on kind of game.
Exactly. So I mean, I saw it on Instagram, actually. I think it was on the Gvis Stadium's account, the official Gvis Stadium account. said that Atalanta was the only team in the big five leagues to yet to concede a goal at home this season, in the big five leagues. Yeah. So
Nice,
I thought that's
nice.
really, I mean, and after our last couple of years of just having horrific home form, this solid defense and these good results at home is very, very welcome. Maybe we just needed to keep the Curva Sud demolished.
Right.
Maybe that's why it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you kind of mentioned how we have a lot of new pieces to integrate. One hell of a transfer window, I think, for us. We spent a lot of money. We got a lot of money from Hoyland. Favorite transfer, Nick, of our transfer season.
Ooh, that's tough because I think you have consideration for De Ketelaere. I think Charles De Ketelaere off the bat so far, and Scamacca. But I think I would have to go Kolasinac. Saeed Kolasinac immediately inserts into left center back and solidifies that defense, which has been one of the better defenses in Serie A so far. Six clean sheets to the good in 9 matches, which is insane for what the way this team can be so ride or die. So I'll go with him so far, just being able to solidify a back line that could be very, we know how it can be sometimes. So
Yeah, I mean, and to think of that, he came on a free after we spent quite a
yes.
considerable amount of money on others. I think my favorite, he's the best transfer, probably the most surprising and sneakily good transfer that we had, because I didn't really have too many expectations of him. It's interesting what will happen with Mitchell Backer. You talked quite a bit about it on the La Lanterna pod about our left wing back situation, and all of us are just eating all the words that we said about Ruggeri this season. But I think Mitchell Backer still has his place, and hopefully he's not going to be another underutilized wing back that leaves a little salty because they don't get any playing time, because I still think there's something there. And of course, we haven't seen anything from El Bilal Touré because he's been injured. But the best thing about Charles de Ketelaere, about CDK, is whatever crap Milanisti were saying about him, and all of a sudden he's come to the good with us. Clearly, he was just used in the wrong spot, and I think we're using him in the right spot at Atalanta. And that, dare I say it, the Josip Iličić kind of role, whether that's behind a central striker in a 3-4-3, or being one of the main strikers kind of lining up on the right hand side. We kind of needed somebody who can do a little bit of a moment of magic. So fantastic to have De Ketelaere. He scored a couple of great goals in Serie A and in Europe. And Scamacca could be what kind of Hoyland was for us last season in the clinical finisher. He hasn't gotten there yet, but hopefully that's what we need. Because, if anything, that is probably my favorite thing about the season so far with Atalanta, other than the fact that we're playing well at home and having a lot of clean sheets, is the fact that we're creating so many chances. And we're starting to see some nice offensive football, but we're not quite always putting them away. So hopefully a healthy Scamacca can help with that.
Most definitely. Yep.
But it can't all be good, Nick. Anything disappointing for you in the first 9 matches of the Serie A season?
I think disappointment's maybe a harsh word for what I'll describe, but it goes along the line with Touré got hurt already. Scamacca has been known to be injury prone. And this is. We left ourselves with basically very little depth. You mentioned already De Ketelaere being best deployed as kind of like the Iličić second striker or left right winger who cuts in kind of player. We've had to use him quite frequently as in that striker role already, which neutralizes his abilities a little bit. And it's just a little unfortunate that we're in the situation where we might be thin offensively, just based off some of the guys that we signed and not really having contingency plans, made worse by the fact that we let Zapata go on a loan deal to Torino when he could have been a capable backup in for situations exactly like this.
And I think one of the interesting things too is, we've talked quite a bit, and we talked about it on the La Lanterna pod about how we're kind of thin in central midfield because we're
Yeah,
deploying all three
exactly.
central midfielders, usually Cope Miners as the trequartista. We deployed a 3-4-3 against Genoa. It's a pretty decent effect, and even though Genoa packed the midfield, Ederson and De Roon quite took care of it, while Cope Miners was out. But I thought the most interesting thing is and was that when the front three was replaced, for a while Lucho was playing on the left wing and Pasalic was playing the striker. So to me the biggest disappointment is maybe Adolpo. I know we didn't pay much for him, but maybe we didn't think we needed him, but we definitely seem to be more balanced. I don't know about better, but more balanced when we have all three of those midfielders in at the same time. But I said before that Martin De Roon will never get old on social media, but he's getting older on the pitch. Ederson doesn't seem to have 90 minutes in him, and boom, here we go. Cope Miners playing day in and day out in the Serie A and your Europa League, and he gets an injury and misses the Genoa game. So I think my biggest disappointment is that we are a little thin in central midfield because we know Pasalic isn't it, and it doesn't look like Adolpo is anywhere near ready to be able to come in there. So I think that's a little disappointing. Just like we are up top, we're a little thin in the middle. But I think what we do have, Nick, is two really good goalies.
Right. It's the place where we don't need two players. We've got the embarrassment of riches right there.
Yeah, I think we all were. I've always been excited about the prospect of Marco Carnesecchi. And I think a lot of us were excited about maybe him after Musso had not a great season, maybe taking over the number one position, but we all knew that we had invested quite a bit in Juan Musso, so we wanted to get our money's worth out of him. Who knows how much money we could have gotten back off of Juan Musso, and with Sporty going to Milan and then getting injured for the first time in I think forever, which was odd. Here we have kind of a rotation a little bit. Musso's still the clear number one, but both of them have had fantastic games this season. I think that's part of the reason why we've had nothing but clean sheets at home and six
Right.
clean sheets in total. What are your thoughts
And
there?
Karnisecki's played, he's played 3 matches Serie A already. Wow. He played against Genoa, Fiorentina, and what game am I missing? Sorry to put you on the spot if you,
He
I'm
played
trying to pull up.
against, was
Hellas
it
Verona as
Hellas
well.
Verona? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think it's great having that option. And I know some of those, maybe I think it was Man City back, and then they have like Ederson was their Premier League keeper, and then Claudio Bravo was the Champions League keeper, which worked for us to some effect a few years back. But it would be interesting to see them do something like that. But I think Musso coming up big is, and I feel more attached and more empathy to him now, knowing that last year at this time he had a newborn in his family. And granted, however much he's taken care or was taking care of his child and everything, it still weighs on you having a newborn. So if his decision making just is slightly off, 1 or 2% off, it can magnify out in where the slimmest of margins make a big difference on the pitch. So I think he's coming good now that he's probably fully back to cohesion that he was prior to a child. And we've seen some fantastic saves from him, just great reflex saves. The game against the I keep the not Warsaw, that the Polish team we played in the Europa League, Rakov, got he looked offsides, but he wasn't. He was onsides, and he saved us from them potentially trying to claw back into that game. And then Karnisecki obviously saved us against Genoa that in the final minute. And maybe that's another thing we could gripe on with Atalanta too. They seem to go into a shell sometimes when teams press them so urgently trying to get back into a game, and they forget how to string a couple passes together. They don't have to go score, but they just have to ease some pressure off, get the just win the field possession battle again sometimes. And they, by choice or I don't know, I've struggled to do that a little bit, but that's a little digression from the keepers. It's great having two good keepers. whoever is at the helm going forward or even into next year will be confident and happy with either one of them, I think.
Yeah, I hope they both stay through the season. I hope that Karnisecki doesn't go out again in the winter break. But as we go in and talk a little bit about Genoa here, during the match, I get a text from our friend Nick Diani from the Kicks and Picks pod. And he says, all he says is six Italians, impressive. And I didn't realize that with Karnisecki in there, our starting 11 had six Italians. When was the last time Atalanta had a majority of Italians in their starting 11? I thought that was really, really interesting. So if the Italian part of me, I did say something about, how that would make us lose. I won't say that. But it was nice to have that. And so if I have to vote for one, Carnesecchi having six, making us have more Italians on the team, it doesn't really matter. Juan Musso could probably become Italian if he wanted to, because he probably has. But I mean, I think he's already been called up by the Argentine national team. I don't know if that counts. Don't you have to play?
Yeah, I was gonna say, has he played? I know he's made those trips to just sit on the bench and do. Oh,
Yeah.
he's played twice. He's played
He's played
twice.
twice.
So
Ah, okay. We can't get him anymore.
sadly,
It doesn't matter. Goalie is one
yeah,
position the Italy doesn't necessarily need an upgrade
right.
on it. But
Maybe the only position.
yeah. 100%, 100%. But I mean, to me, the Musso's performance is probably the biggest surprise for me so far this season, that I've been pleasantly surprised. Now, both of them are still have marginal distribution out the back, but they're both very much shot stoppers, and that's what Atalanta has needed in the first nine games of the season. We'll call it the first 11 games of the season if you count the European competition. But Nick, that Genoa game, 2-0, we definitely dominated on the ball and had a lion's share of the chances. Ruslan Malinovsky didn't score against us, so that was a win. Which, by the way, doesn't he look so different when he's playing deeper, like we had talked about in the past? I did not notice him making mistakes. He was spraying some nice passes. I just feel like maybe we still used him wrong at Atalanta.
It could have been, yeah, because we talked to that Real Madrid game,
Yep.
right? That was the one where I think you shed light on it in that one, that he can just let that left foot go to work
Yep.
and do what it needs to do. Yeah, I think it's possible, but then Cote Miners kind of does the same thing too, and he plays further back, and it's just too many cooks or too
Yep.
many chefs, not enough spots in the kitchen sometimes, but.
Yeah.
He came good for us still overall. I think
I
he had a
think so.
successful Atalanta tenure when all was said and done.
Yeah, and he's a really great guy, and I think we all have fond memories of him, and you know me, I'm quite sentimental, but it was nice to see him playing well and in a position that I felt like he can play, and he could have played with us. We sure could use the depth, if that was the case. So anyways, I don't know. I think that it was not very comfortable, even though we dominated, especially in the beginning of the second half. We got all those chances. Leali came up with a bunch of good saves. It wasn't as ugly as I think we thought it was. It was a knocked out, dragged out fight. But fair play to Genoa. They didn't really let us make it easy, right? And I think the biggest thing, especially in that scoreless first half, was, well, first of all, Di Catellari had kind of a stinker, probably the worst match he's had for us. And when we were lacking kind of his ability to make things happen and creativity, as well as the finishing was not as precise. That's what it was, right? The final ball, the finishing, all of that kind of stuff. Everything was there but the final result. And I feel like that is our biggest problem right now.
Exactly. And it took Lookman on his rear end
Yep,
to
exactly.
actually get a ball into the back of the net. And yeah, I'm just trying to look at some of the shots here. And like you said, that first, it felt like the goal was coming, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of how things may have gone in the span of, like, I'm just looking Scamacca and Scalvini back to back. Like, that was a crazy save that Leali made on Scamacca's
Yep.
Twinkle toes back heel that he tried. And it's the same old story, I guess, with Atalanta with the finishing sometimes. If they're able to work that out, they're golden. And that's where Scamacca comes in ultimately, to be that, to be the guy that puts an end to some of those woes that we might have in our in our wheelhouse sometimes. But I missed the first half, admittedly, but I think watching the second half, like even though it took halfway through the second half for the goal to come, it just felt like it was eventually going to come.
Yeah.
Genoa wasn't making it so ugly that we were just bogged down in the middle and couldn't get anything into the box.
Yeah. Truly, though, it was never super comfortable. And I think it took that Karnisecki save in extra time. And Ederson was, I thought, fantastic, especially in the first half. And he got that second goal, which at first I was like, come on, Mario, give it to Hans. Hans has more space. But I'm kind of glad he gave it to Ederson, because who knows where Hans would have put that shot. But at least Hans got a yellow card while he was warming
site.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
We know where it would have been.
I was pretty confident that we would win this match, and that, you know, like we kind of said before, Gasp is pretty good against his students. So I think it was an important 3 points, especially coming back from international break and going into the Europa League match, which is going to be tomorrow, as we're recording on Wednesday. Any thoughts about this Genoa match before we kind of move on to looking at Europe?
I think it's good that we could win without cup minors. It's not like Genoa was just a straight up bottom feeder of a team. They're probably going to be in the mid-table scrum for most of the season. So being able to put together a good victory without arguably your best player, I think is really encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really nice to see a really packed Genoa midfield, because we know they play like a 3-5-2, and then Gudmundsson dropping into the midfield all the time. They might as well have a 3-6-2 or 3-6-1 while they're at it. But really, even though it was a little bit difficult, there was enough support to Darun and Ederson. I just really like seeing the front three. I love that front three of Lookman, Scamacca, and De Ketelaere. It's probably going to be our best attacking. I'm glad that Gasperini decided to go for it, but I don't think he'd ever go for it if Cup Miners was available. And you know, you and I both thought that Pasalic was probably going to start and maybe Scamacca would stay on the bench. But I'm glad Gasp went for it. He knew something that maybe we didn't. Sometimes he tends to be a little bit conservative to add that third midfielder. But if we're playing a 3-4-3, one out of those, and all three midfielders are available, Nick, who goes?
Yeah, it's tough, right? And we're assuming, yeah, if we do 3-4-3 with CDK, Scamacca, and Lookman up front, probably Ederson, I think.
Oof.
It's tough because it feels like he can just be an energizer bunny you can bring in the second half.
That's true.
If you just need a guy to go all out and just bring energy to the team and run around, cause havoc, it feels like that's the best way to use him if you're put in that situation to choose.
Yeah.
But it's a good problem to have, because it feels like we're thin at midfield, but we're not at the same time. It's just like, it always depends on what the situation is. And obviously it all hinges on what's going on with Cope Miners and where they decide to play him. But I think that's my answer. And you can make a case for Darun maybe because he's older, but I think he's too critical from a positioning standpoint.
Yeah, it's almost like I need to see a game with like all the different permutations of each. So just to have Ederson and Cope Miners in the midfield, just in, and then we've seen games with Cope Miners and Darun in there, but Ederson's on some fine form. But you're right, he's the one who's probably the most impactful coming off the bench. You know, although against Lazio, when Cope Miners came off of the bench, he definitely made a huge difference and helped get back to 2-2 before we dropped that last goal. So I don't know.
Ederson leads the squad in goals this year. He has 4. Who would have thought?
Insanity.
Yep.
Insanity. Yeah. But yeah, good match, good result. Really unnervy at the end, but it's good. Mm-hmm. It's good for us to to have matches like that, and you know, to actually come out with 3 points, because so often in the past it hasn't been that way. So, all right, Nick, let's talk a little bit about the Europa League. We top the group. We got 2 wins, 2-0 at home to Rakov. Fantastic, fantastic win in Lisbon, 2-1 against a really, really good Sporting team. Nick, are we going to win the Europa League this year?
Of course, right?
Yes, we're going to Dublin. We're going to Dublin. I already told the wife that Atalanta makes it to the final. Yeah, but we're going to Dublin.
Get a cheap Aer Lingus flight, and then we're good to go.
Done. Always wanted to fly on Aer Lingus anyway. But, you know, tomorrow we have we play against the third team in our group, and that is Sturm Graz. And what you have so cleverly coined the Rasmus Hojlund Derby. We have back-to-backs, of course, with Sturm Graz, who are doing really, really well in the Austrian Bundesliga as well. What are your thoughts on our European campaign so far, Nick? Are we exceeding expectations, or how do you feel?
Definitely. I think I didn't know a lot about Sporting going into this. Let's be frank. I knew nothing about Sporting, but you were right. The way they came out in the second half of that match and were very close to just putting a beating on the squad and not only maybe drawing it, but going on to get 3 goals and win it. You have to be really impressed with the fortitude that the team had. But I think not only winning that game is essentially getting 3 points, but given that it's so early in the campaign, we have 6 early points. Let's say you just win one against Sturm Graz. Well, you have a chance to win one out of two. That's 9 points, and probably pretty safe to say you advance to the knockouts of Europa League already. And doing the early work, doing the dirty work early and up front, just makes it so much easier going forward in the November and December when you don't focus more on Serie A, but you're not in a moment where we don't have to go to Poland desperately needing 3 points into a very hostile environment potentially. So I think I'm really happy with being able to do that work up front.
Yeah, and I think that first half against Sporting was probably the best I've seen us play.
Oh yeah.
In forever.
Oh yeah.
I almost couldn't believe my eyes. And the fact that it was Scalvini and Ruggeri scoring, that was really special. That's gonna be one of my highlights so far in this magical European ride that Atalanta's had in the last 7 years, to have two academy grads score away at Sporting Lisbon. So I thought that was really unbelievable. I think it's so important. I thought a draw against Sporting would have been fine. I expected to beat Rakov. So yeah, I predicted that Atalanta could potentially win. I did go on to a Sporting podcast to talk a little bit about Portuguese football podcast and talk a little bit about that. The other guy, the Sporting fan, was quite convinced that Sporting was going to win. And I said, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue about that. But so to come out and to play like that against, you know, one of the big three in Portugal away is quite good. But yeah, to me, they're definitely with 6 points overperforming. Had some really, really great performances, very professional performances. Nick, we have to finish first, I think. If we're going to go deep into the Europa League, we need to avoid the droppers from the Champions League.
You got to get the bye.
Yeah, we got to get that bye. So I think that's going to be the most important thing, is I think we need to at least get 4 points against Sturm Graz, another point against Sporting, even though we're at home, and another 3 points. Yep. So and that would put us with no losses in the group stage. So I think
get us like 14 points potentially is that's the goal. That's the golden number to feel comfortable about getting first place. It may not take 14, but that makes us feel a lot safer.
Yeah. I mean,
I agree.
If you look at the Sturm Graz team itself, I mean, my predictions for this match, I have no idea, but I think that we can get a point. And they lost to Sporting at home, but they were up 1-0. To me, from looking at the way that they play, their strengths, from the couple of games that I've seen, I foresee a huge match from their goalkeeper. He had a huge match against Sporting. Big tall guy. I think he's on loan from Brighton.
Sherpin? Sherpin? Yeah.
Exactly, that guy. Sherpin? Sherpin?
Yeah. Oh
Sherpin?
my God. Yeah, he's strapping 6'8". He's not a tiny boy.
He's the 4 meter Milinkovic Savage type. So I think that that's going to be a thing. I do think that we could again have be on the front foot when it comes to possession. We have to be careful on the break. We're a pretty big club in the Europa League, I think, this year. I think we're playing really, really well. And our balanced play, if we can put some of those chances away, we're going to be, something to contend with. Nick, what do you want to see against Graz tomorrow? What lineup do you want to see? It looks like Cope Miners is going to be ready. Do you think he starts?
I'd say so. I think maybe Gasperini knew going into the last Sunday against Genoa, Cope Miners will be ready for the weekend. I can get a little more daring and try this front three that's more attacking minded. So we probably see Cope Miners in his attacking mid role with CDK and Lookman. Maybe my guess is Scamacca probably comes off the bench in this one. And it gets pretty easy from there at this point, right? We know who our midfield four is going to be at that point with Zappacosta, who's, and I think the wing backs deserve a lot of credit too. They've been beyond Ruggeri, who's just been out of nowhere a godsend on the left. Zappacosta has been very steady, pretty much every match he's played, and then of course Ederson, Deroen in the middle, Jim City, who's been he was he's been good, but he's been. Lazio game aside, where he made a couple blunders, but he's helped make the Demiral exit a little more manageable. And then is Toloi hurt or
I think Toloi is available.
he's available? But I think, yeah, maybe on the road you go Toloi and Kolasinac on the end caps
Oh, no
for the center
Scalvini,
backs.
huh?
I don't know. I like Toloi in this one.
Okay.
I think he's going to come through.
And
And
Musso and goal.
then we'll go Musa in goal. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually think that we might see Cup Miners come off the bench in this one. I think we see a similar starting 11 to what we saw in against Genoa, probably out of abundance of precaution. So I think we see the front three of Lookman, Scamacca, and De Ketelaere, and then the pivot of Ederson and Deroen, Ruggeri, Zappacosta. And I think you're right, but I think that I don't, for some reason, I think Scalvini is on the left over Kolasinac, which I think is kind of interesting. Even on the road. I don't know. I
Yeah,
feel like
actually,
I
he may have been nursing something too,
yeah.
potentially why he didn't play. So that could be valid if they do go Scalvini there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and then probably Musso and goal. I'm assuming for that. I would love, so from what I know and what I've seen of Sturm Graz is they tend to play with a midfield diamond, the little 4-1-2-1-2.
Yeah.
The midfield isn't necessarily packed, and so I think that having a front three against that back four and that holding midfielder along with higher wing backs is going to help us a little bit on the front foot. I just we what we really, really need in this, I think more than Cope Miners' ability to potentially dictate play and to link, I think we need the late runs of Ederson on this, because I just foresee us getting to the byline or doing our typical like dipsy doodling around the box. Somebody needs to make a run. Somebody needs to get on a head on the cross of Ruggeri. Even
Ruggeri
if,
cross.
yeah, and if Scamacca and CDK are covered, you cut it back a little further to Ederson. I think Ederson gets a goal in this game. I think that he's going to be key. So having him play instead of Cope Miners out of an abundance of caution, I think would be a good thing. And I think we need a front three against a team like Sturm Graz. More comfortable with that than I would be against Genoa, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. It's teams do weird things when they're on the road in European competitions, but I don't think there's really any reason for us to not
No.
try to replicate what we did first half against Sporting from an aggression standpoint.
Yeah, we're at a point, Nick, I think that we are good enough and have enough skill, and teams give us enough respect that we don't that Gasp doesn't have to do major tactical shifts depending on where we're playing or against who we're playing. I think that this team, more than even our great, Papu Iličić, Duvan, and Gosens, Atalanta, I think we have more of some experience and some balance than that team. So we don't need to change anything up. I would love to see a 3-4-3.
Yeah,
And for us
agreed.
to get two goals like we did against Sporting, and then, make us give them a heart attack in the second half as,
Right.
we let them come back into the game. That seems
Yeah.
par
Yeah,
for
it
the course.
seems par for the course. So let's just get three goals in the first half just
Yeah.
to make it a little easier. Yeah.
Right, score prediction, Nick.
Yeah, I'm gonna Yeah, it's so tough because we don't know we know very little about Sturm
Yes.
Graz beyond it's Hoyland's old club, and it's a very cool name for a club, I must say, Sturm Graz. But I think their last two games, they've won 2-1. I think we're gonna flip that score line, and we ourselves are gonna win 2-1. Seems like a pretty reliable score line to go with for Atalanta these days. So I like an Ederson goal shout. I think that's a really good call. And then I think Bookman bags the other one.
Do you think it's going to be when the goal's going to come?
I think it's gonna play out very similar to Sporting. We'll get two goals first half, and then Sturm Graz will pull one back like halfway through
Yep, make it
second half
nervy.
and make it very nervy.
Yeah, this is why we can't have nice things, Nick.
Yeah.
Can't have nice things. I think Ederson and oof, I like the idea of Lookman, but I'm feeling a little frisky. I'm thinking a De Bruyne. Ederson and De Bruyne score in the first half. De Bruyne gets it off of a corner kick, little,
Or a screamer from the outside the
yeah,
box out the corner
screamer.
ricochet.
I mean, he almost had one against with his left foot against Genoa, so he deserves that. So I think an Ederson header, a De Bruyne thunder bastard, and that's all done by around the 42nd minute. We're up 2-0, and then we dominate the first 10 minutes of the second half. Probably hit a couple posts, and then we let Sturm Graz back in, and they score a goal, probably because Scalvini makes a mistake.
We get another. We can go. Was that a penalty that he committed, do you think, in that Sporting game?
100%.
100% penalty,
100%.
even though it's flying
Yeah.
8,000 meters over the post. But
I don't know how you cannot call that. I think that
yeah.
in the past we've been screwed on that same thing, but I don't hate that. We got lucky on
Yeah.
some calls in that match too. So, was it Toloi that probably should have seen red?
Oh, he should have gotten off,
Yeah.
probably. Yeah.
So we'll take the trade. We got the win. I
Yeah.
ain't gonna complain about how that happened. I think that it's probably not going to be a penalty for Sturm Graz. I think it's going to be one of those, all of a sudden, the ball goes through Scalvini's l long legs, and it's one-on-one against Juan Musa, and this time he doesn't save it.
He doesn't,
Yeah.
Can't win them all.
Can't win them all. Sorry about that, Juan. But I think another 3 points in a tough match. I don't know. I have a good feeling about it. Who knows? Who knows? Earlier today, I felt like we were going to get a lesson taught to us, but talking to you, I feel a lot better about it.
Yeah, that's why we have this podcast,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
Therapy session first and foremost.
Then, Nick, on Monday, we have Empoli, right? And Empoli is struggling a little bit, but they just came off beating, a very, very good Fiorentina squad. That was a really bad game for Fiorentina, that's for sure. But Nick, I can't imagine. Is this our trap game at this point, post, especially if we beat Sturm Graz, post European, and then playing on the Monday against a team that's down in the lower, where are they placed right now?
17. So they're out of the
17.
drop.
Yeah, they're out of the drop. And
I would say trap game if it wasn't for Fiorentina waking up the rest of the league and saying this isn't just the worst team in the league potentially. So I think thank you Viola Nation for helping us out a little bit there, but it's weird. Empoli's weird this year. Like I was looking, expected goals aren't everything. They're pretty comfortably like middle of the pack. Like they've given up, they have a negative 13 goal differential versus a negative 4.5 expected. That seems like a lot of bad luck's gone their way that they probably just aren't haven't been able to overcome. So I don't think they're as bad as their record indicates, but I also think this is a game that we should be able to comfortably go. We're on the road, right? We're away for this one,
I believe so, yeah.
and we should be able to put this one away. I don't think we've traveled well there in the past. I don't think this should be any different.
I think Mario Pasalic plays in this one and he scores like a hat trick.
This is his hat trick game.
This is his hat trick game. He's a flat track bully in Empoli. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know how to predict, especially coming off of the Graz game, but I think we'll probably see. I think we might see like Lucho and Pasalic in the starting 11. And I'm hoping this is the type of game where maybe we'll see like a Mitchell Backer, Emil Holm, or Hans Hatteboer start to give our
Yeah.
wing backs a little bit. And maybe even like an Adopo. I don't
Yeah.
know.
We just go all team B and then.
Yeah, because I think, because after that we have Inter. So whatever, however it plays out, against Empoli, we at least give our starters a little bit of a rest. And I think we'll win this one too. I think it'll
Yeah.
be probably 3-1 for Atalanta in
Yeah,
Empoli.
I think that's a I like that score line. There's a lot of old this is like a who's who from Atalanta's past. Berisha is starting goalkeeper now
Oh my
for
God,
them.
Ettrick Berisha.
And we've got Pezzella who's starting on the wing. Nicholas Haas is there. Piccoli, Kovalenko on loan there right
My
now.
God.
So granted these guys don't really play a lot besides Berisha and Pezzella, but
It'd be interesting to
strange
see.
team. I didn't really know anything about their lineup, but just looking at their roster right now, and it's that Atalanta contingency plus they picked up all the scraps from Spezia, who deserve to stay in Serie A as well. So, yeah, this is a game Atalanta should be winning. So, hopefully they do well enough Thursday and don't get drunk on Europa League high and can execute on Monday. I think having the extra day's rest is helpful. It's nice to have the Monday game instead of having it on Sunday.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, pretty positive first pod of the season, Nick. Probably gonna cut it a little shorter today. We'll probably have our little reaction pod post Storm Graz and Empoli sometime next week if that works for you. Any other thoughts before we close it out, Nick?
You can go read my article of my thoughts, but we have to just make a shout out to Alexei Maranchuk and his
Yes.
allegiance with the Oakland Athletics is the best crossover in sports that I've seen in years. But
Do you think that he wears A's because his name is Alexei?
yeah, I think that's when the article I wrote, I think I just basically said he probably thought the hat looks cool. And well, that's the thing, is the A in Cyrillic like an A? Or,
I have no idea. I have no clue.
but who knows? But he's like, oh, maybe I'll just do it because it looks cool. But I'd rather it be just him be like a closet nerd slash baseball fan. And
I honestly think that if we're talking American sports or North American sports here, if we have two lines, right, of our front three, I don't have a problem with our second line being Lucho, Pasalic, and Marancha. I think that's a really good second line for us for a front three. I ain't mad at that. If we're talking hockey here.
They would slot right in at Empoli and start. So, but, and that's
Yeah.
not the
Oh,
that's not throwing.
for us, not for Empoli.
I'm for us. We could
For
sure they can
us.
start, but I'm saying that's a good enough starting 11 or starting three to be on a mid-table squad, I think, and perform well.
Don't close the door on Lucho yet. I think he's got stuff to offer. I got this feeling about Lucho. I
He's
feel like
gonna come.
he's losing a little bit of weight. He's gonna score a free kick. You know, it's I think he's looking a lot better, and I think he's settling into his this new lease on life here.
Yeah, his new norm, and then he's just gonna he'll just start running at people more, and then it'll be in a flow state at that point. I hope
Love
so.
it. All right, Nick, let everybody know where they can find you and read your good stuff.
Yeah, so atalantapasione.com. Consistent writing has been a little difficult, but I'm doing my best. Go read the Alexei Maranchuk deep theories that posted this week, and I'll do my best to try to put more articles like that rather than game previews and recaps as the season goes along.
Cool. And of course, you can find me at Atalanta underscore Vegas. And that's it for season one. Thanks for your patience. Hope you enjoy. Ciao, everybody.
See you guys. Vinci, dai, non ti lasciamo mai. E forza l'Atalanta, e forza l'Atalanta. Vinci, dai, non ti lasciamo mai. E forza la canta, vinci dai, non ti lasciamo mai.